My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And this week we're talking about Say My Name, which was written and directed by Thomas Schnauz and originally aired on August 26th of 2012.
Yeah, I much like the original name for this much more.
Yeah, Everybody Wins.
Everybody Wins, which I think is a really good name for this.
Uh-huh.
We're in like the cliffhanger end of the mid-season kind of bit. So we got to the end of Buyout. Mike and Jesse were about to shoot Walt, but he has a plan where everybody wins. Mm-hmm. And we pick up with them going along with it.
Yes.
To keep the methylamine that they stole in this train heist.
Yeah. To try and get one over / work with Declan, everybody's favorite.
Yeah, Declan heads eaten good for a couple more episodes. I love Declan. He's my special boy. I would like the Declan Chronicles prequel show, please. I would like to know about his operation. What makes him tick? What's his version of Fring?
You know? I want 2 seasons of him burying that bus.
Yeah, like getting a bunch of Germans to bury that bus. What's his family like? You know, who's his son's friend who gets disappeared in the desert? I gotta know everything there is to know about Declan.
Oh yeah, this episode is only a little bit about Declan, much to everybody's chagrin. It's mostly a swan song for Mike. The noose has tightened. Hank's investigation has caught up to Lawyer Dan.
Yeah, kind of continuing our leaving Walt as a POV character and moving on to Mike.
Yes.
Until he's there. This is Hank. His investigation gets a break, figures out who's paying everybody off.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get people to flip. And Mike dies. It sucks.
Sucks.
Love Mike.
I always forget how early he dies. I forget that he dies before the season jump.
Yep. He could not have been around for the second half of it.
No, God, you know,
it wouldn't have worked. But at the same time, he dies in even by Breaking Bad standards, a pointless death.
Yep.
You know, and this is a lot of people's turning against Walt moment. In rewatches, which I get. I feel like the cold open should be their turning against Walt section, instead it became a thing that people put on posters.
Yeah.
And stuff in kind of a bummer way. This is a big marquee episode for people misunderstanding Breaking Bad. I feel like.
Oh man, Tyler Durden's a real cool guy.
Yeah, it's with the I'm the one who knocks kind of thing. Like, this isn't that thing of just people who are just like, oh my God, it's so fucking unbelievably badass.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about this even just recently. Like, they do that train heist. That's unbelievably badass.
Yeah.
Things can, you know, Walt is still capable of doing things that are unbelievably badass, but this shit isn't it.
Nope.
From front to back. And I don't think the show is portraying it as such. One of my favorite acting choices in the whole series happens here, where after Mike gets shot, Walt's weird childlike panic, you know, him slipping the mask coming off and him just kind of like, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a addict behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's woken up to the consequences of his actions when he wasn't himself.
It's kind of a rock bottom moment of clarity kind of deal.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm glad that we feel the same way about his fucking strut that he tries to put on.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be disgusting. It just sucks that so many people are like, fuck yeah, Travis Bickle. So,
people were sad to see Mike go. The crew was so rocked that they wore black garments and black armbands to the set in mourning for Mr. Yeah. Ehrmantraut, which is very cute.
Very cute. Thank goodness for Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Being the Mike prequel. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Banks spoke indeed about this ending. He doesn't think that Mike would have left Keeley behind at the park.
Nope.
When running from the cops. I get it.
Yep.
Like, that also would have been tough. But, you know, I think the scene works.
Yeah.
He's very sad that he has to do it.
It's all, yeah, it's a part of the tragedy, I think. He also thinks that Mike got done dirty well. You know, and I think the indignity of that death, it's only heightened by a Better Call Saul. But even at this point, like, he didn't deserve that at all.
Yeah.
Completely senseless. In talking about this, Jonathan Banks believes that Mike's plan was to retire to a small villa on the coast of Spain. And he came up with that because that's what him and his wife wanted to do when he retired. He was going to do it, and then got hired for this role.
Yeah, making his wife is probably has feelings about Breaking Bad.
Probably.
They could be in a villa, and instead they're in Albuquerque. So
they could be living in a real cool house that I would do tons of stuff to be in.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is Thomas Schnauze's first directing job. He went to NYU Film School with Vince Gilligan and wrote with him on The X-Files. Mm-hmm. You know, I see him a bunch on The X-Files. He'd go on to direct a number of Better Call Saul episodes.
Yes.
He also wrote this episode, as we mentioned before. This badass Heisenberg scene in the front of this I have problems with. Mm-hmm. It's a well-directed episode, though.
Yes.
Beautifully shot.
Yeah. Some amazing shots in this, thanks to Slovis, the director of photography.
Go Slovis.
Go Slovis. Let's get into it. Let's talk about this fucking repulsive cold open.
Yeah. Like, there are things about this that are good. This is a weird section where I think that Cranston just plays it. Too cool.
Uh-huh.
Like there are words that I don't think would bug me if they weren't delivered with such cock.
Yeah.
You know, it's like such like just hand on balls bullshit.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a really good, the other thing this episode, if you look at this opening scene and the ending scene and the middle scene with Hank, and you look at it through the frame that we've been looking at the show of, not necessarily a critique, you know, a full spectrum critique, but an examination of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
As a thing, this works really well.
Yes.
You know, because there are dudes like a Declan who respond to this.
Yeah. It's regrettable.
Super regrettable.
I do believe that this is supposed to be repulsive too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And everybody's basically groaning at the shit. He just happens to be right.
Yeah.
You know, so Mike drives Jesse and Walt out to the desert to meet Declan, says, listen, you're on your own. Walt comes out to meet Declan. Declan says, you're about 1,000 gallons short.
Yeah.
And Walt says, the methylamine isn't coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't talk to Mike. You're dealing with me now.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes his pitch, basically. You know, I need distribution. I've you know, my partner's seen your product. It's 71% pure on a good day. Like, he's talking about every once in a while, somebody will make the counter argument. Like, I make poison for people who want to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it never sticks with Walt.
No,
you know,
no.
Like, it's a really good argument though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's extremely good. Yeah.
Yeah. Declan at first is just like, so the fuck what? You know, again, I make poison for people who want to kill themselves.
Yeah. He's just kind of amused. You know, it's a little, he's watching a dog stand up on its hind legs and try and walk and talk like a person.
Well, Rory Calhoun.
You know, and Walt says he should care about the purity. You know, just yours is some kind of off-brand store cola and mine is classic Coke.
Yeah. You know, Declan says, okay, well, what happens if I kill you? That'll get rid of the competition. No more Coke. Yeah. You know, everyone will have to drink my soda.
Yeah. Do you really want to live in a world without Coca-Cola?
Like, when it comes to meth, sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a... this is... The culture around this isn't cool, man.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's... This is just money. So Walt, you know, eventually appeals to him through a money thing, you know. Says... throws a bag of his meth and says, my partner tells me that you switch to a PTP cook to ape our product and you dye your product blue. You're already doing it, but you're wasting your potential. You know, I've been the greatest. We're the two greatest meth cooks in America.
He throws
Jesse in.
That's this afterthought.
I think this is calculating.
Yeah.
I think he's doing it to puff him up because he's going to do that later.
Yeah.
A little bit too. Like there's some manipulation here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get us. All you need to do is pay Mike $5 million considered a finder's fee.
Yeah. And they get 30.
For bringing us together.
They get 35% of whatever they sell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll make more money, you know, higher yield and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's like, okay, this is fine. He's made the argument, but we're no longer backfoot Walt because Declan, you know, who the hell are you? And then we get, you know, say, you know exactly who I am. Say my name. I'm the cook. I'm the man who killed Gus Fring. Yeah. You know, and he's like, no, bullshit. The cartel did. He looks over at Mike and Mike shakes his head like, nah. Nobody would tolerate being in a time zone with Walt.
You,
this Walt.
this the like the like the second he said, "You all know exactly who I am," I would tackle him.
Get fucked. Yeah. It's I had two friends who were extremely like this in my life when I was younger and less discerning. Uh-huh. One, when I was in high school in a band, there was one guy who was like 2 or 3 years older than us who was in a band, mm-hmm. which at the time seemed cool and now seems deeply uncool. but he came to practice once and he said, "Let me guess, I'm the only one who got laid last night."
Oh my God.
Right? Ugh. So like, and we were not... Like we wasn't were that like kind 14, of band? 15.
Oh God.
No,
yeah.
No. Like I, you know, we were like, you know, reasonably pre-sexually aged, uh-huh. right? Like you don't need to be having sex at like 15 to be cool. It's like, that's pretty young.
Yeah.
So you did that. Another thing, another guy who I knew, who I've grown apart from, when he got his degree and started doing interviews.
Okay.
He was like, "Dude, it's the fucking best. You just walk in and you're, who's got the biggest dick?" You just like whip them out.
I've
basically
heard this story. You've said this
yeah.
before.
And I was like, fuck, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Who wants to live in that world?
Who wants to live like that?
Yeah. Like just constantly. And like, that's what this is. It's that those two kinds of like masculinity laser focused into mm-hmm. the most hateable this character has ever been, including all of the murders and kidnappings he does.
Yeah.
Like this is worse to me than poisoning Brock. I fucking hate this. Like, it's so off-putting and gross.
It ranks a little bit behind him raping Skylar.
It's up there though. It's, I admit this is, in terms of just revulsion.
Oh yeah,
like it's a different angle of revulsion. I'm not saying that like if you were to weigh the scales.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying there are people starving in Africa. I'm not saying that. It's just
in terms of just like my gut reaction though.
Uh huh.
Like this is intensely repulsive.
Yeah, you know. Now say my name. I mean, like it is so tinged with this psychosexual dominance play, he might as well be saying, "Call me daddy."
Yeah,
right?
It's like, weird.
It's used in that same same kind of breath, same kind of tone. I don't. It feels really grody.
It's really grody, and to a purpose, but also we haven't this season up until this point. Walt has been teasing with this shit.
Uh huh.
You know, like you know, he controls distribution, and I control him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been teasing at this kind of shit, but this is a big jump
mm-hmm.
in that kind of thing. And he doesn't act like this for the rest of the episode
mm-hmm.
either. Even at the end when he's going to like murder Mike for no reason.
No.
He's not this. Like, this is just a very spec script feeling scene to me a little bit. It's a little bit much.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And Declan Cow just kind of, you know, whimpers. You're Heisenberg. You're goddamn right.
Yeah. And then this is up there with scenes I would be embarrassed to like if I was like, "Hey, Breaking Bad's really, really good." Uh-huh. I wouldn't just show them this scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would think it was like a straight to TV Punisher movie or something. Like that.
It's kind of the opposite of the scene that like brought me in to Breaking Bad. Like, I don't know if I said this, like I first caught Breaking Bad. It just like, I was walking into my college house and I saw the scene at the end of, just AMC was on. And I saw the scene at the end of the season finale for season one of Tuco, you know, beating the shit out of his henchman guy.
Yeah.
And Walt, like just putting on his glasses and being like,
it's so much more compelling.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing really draws you in. Whereas this stuff just feels like bread and circuses for a certain kind of dorm room poster.
Yeah. And like, he's not picking that, up from Gus. Gus didn't act like that.
No. It's tied into his fucking flaw. This, you know, your ego and your pride. Yeah. So Declan leaves, Mike takes his money and says, "You know, gotta hand it to you, Walt." Jesse says, "You know, hey, thanks for the kind words, but remember I'm out." And Walt just goes, "We'll talk about it."
Yeah.
You know, hey, he's like, "No, serious." He's like, "I might need some help getting up and running."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Mike gives Jesse the look like, "Fuck, kid." Like he's sneering your ass in.
Yeah. This is a big episode for knowing looks at Jesse.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's, you know, tragic. And Jesse, you know, to his credit, rises to it.
He does.
You know, they make it back. I love this idea that they didn't talk on the entire way home. Mike says, "You know, I got final thoughts, of which I have two. One is, I'll handle my legacy costs out of my end. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you got to get that bug out of Hank's office. They're going to do a sweep."
Yeah.
You know? And he goes to leave and Walt goes, "You know, that's it. you know, no thank you for the $5 million, no apology for chaining me to the radiator. The look on Mike's face, like the facial acting in this is phenomenal.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you just keep,
shut up.
Yeah.
Like this fucking guy.
And, and Mike knows better than to feed him, you know?
Yeah. When there's no point.
Yeah.
Like, and he cares about Jesse.
Yes. Right.
So like that's going to come up in the end where like Mike presumably at one point could have staged a defense a little bit at the end of this. Like we'll get to it when we talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Walt goes inside when he gets nothing. And Mike says to, you know, Jesse, you know, like, we're probably not going to be seeing each other because, you know, Jesse just asks like, oh, so well, I see you around, you know, when I'm out, I'm out. Yeah. And, you know, Jesse says unconvincingly, well, I'm out too. And Mike is just kind of knowingly says, kid, just look out for yourself.
Yeah.
The hooks are still in.
Jesse shows up in his truck to pick up the methylamine, which they were hiding at the car wash.
Yeah.
You know, I love Jesse and Skylar. It's my favorite pairing in the show. Just like, hey, Mrs. White.
just trying to make it like the normal boss yep. relationship. Yeah.
Points to the Vaminos pet thing, goes, Vaminos. You know, just kind of like saying things out loud to fill the air.
It's awkward car ride stuff just like it's nobody said anything for a while. So somebody just reads a billboard.
Yep. It's real good.
He says, Vaminos. And she says, I wish. You know, she wants to get out of here. And as they hook up the methylamine tank, Skylar asks, you know, do I want to know what this is or why it's here?
She asks, and Walt says, do you really want to know?
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, is anyone going to be coming looking for this? Are you hiding it from somebody who'd kill for it? Mm-hmm. And he basically says, why don't you go back to the office and we'll get this out of your hair?
Yeah.
Increasingly forcefully, we keep cutting to Jesse watching this. This is part of what's going to inform his decision later.
Yes.
You know, him watching that display in the desert and this and how Walt's going to act later. These are all things that are going to make the decision for him.
Mm-hmm. Jesse is looking at somebody that Walt has in an emotionally abusive and manipulative relationship, right?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And just the two of them under the yoke of this misery, right? And Skylar knows this too. You know, she just kind of goes to walk away and, you know, shares a look with Jesse. This whole, like, you too kind of deal.
Yeah. You don't have to do this. We cut over to Dan, the lawyer, showing up at the bank with banana bacon cookies for the teller there. I would eat those cookies.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of small talk. She unlocks the safe deposit box, talks about how ridiculous it is their husband wants to buy a boat.
Yes. Just the way that he has greased up this teller with sweets.
Yeah. It's very Better Call Saul, actually. It's very Cinnabon.
Yes.
And we get a montage here as Dan puts money in the boxes.
Yeah.
You know, including a really massive one and then an envelope that says for Kaylee on her 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars.
Yes. And Dan goes out to the car and assures Mike, you know, couldn't fit one more dollar for Kaylee in there.
Yep.
And, you know, Mike is leaving him and, you know, and just Mike trusts him. And he's like, yeah, no, you can, you know, I'll keep on delivering the money to the families. You know, do they understand, you know, kind of stringing it out? And he's like, yeah, they get it.
Yeah. And, you know, they're going to pick it up. They don't mind.
Yeah.
Mike goes out to the desert or goes out in the middle of nowhere, listening to Hank on his laptop, making a call, begging for fun run money. You know, the kind of shit he has to do now.
Yeah.
I hear. Gomi shows up and says, hey, the warrant for Ermentrout came in and Mike does what he came there to do. He opens up this well, drops the laptop into it, and then a million guns.
Yeah.
Again, not beating the charges of being a made-for-TV Punisher movie.
Right.
I love the idea of having a hole.
Uh-huh.
Like out in the middle of nowhere like this.
This is my hole.
Yeah, you know? just for disposal.
Yeah, it's my goodbye hole. Yeah.
Yeah, like having a goodbye hole like this.
Yeah, completely filling this up. You have to wonder what else is down there.
Yeah, who else is down there?
You want to know what is a very hard piece of information to get, Gary?
Hmm.
What's the bottom of a well like?
Oh.
If you go look at it, like there is no just like, oh yeah, bottoms of wells tend to be like this cave. It's like an aquifer, or they'll say like, oh, there's, it's like gravel. And then sometimes the water kind of comes up. I understand that things might be different, but media has led me to believe that there are tremendous secrets. Wells can be the portal to incredible underground realms.
Like cave situations. Yeah. Video games have taught me that.
Yeah. And if you just go look up, you know, like, okay, if I fall down a well, what will I be resting on top of?
Lewis, if it's this small.
Yep.
The saggy, puffy corpse of Lewis.
Yeah. We cracked the case.
Yeah.
and he sets up his go bag. You know, he goes and he puts it in the trunk of this nondescript car in the airport parking garage, leaving a key on top of a nearby pillar. You know, this is just straight up bug out situation.
Yeah. Great scene here. They show up to do a search warrant on Mike's house. You know, Hank has a big sheet-eating grin. I love him holding it up and Mike going, if you want me to read that, I'm going to need my glasses. Perfect.
Uh-huh.
And Mike just sits down and watches the big heat while his house is completely turned over.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get anything. It's all in the pit.
Yeah. I adore Mike's old man movies.
Yeah. You know? It's a really nice touch.
Yeah. It's carried through in Better Call Saul, but
it's a shame that him and Walt never talked about that, because I feel like Walt also likes that similar movies.
I know, right? There's a lot of common ground that they could have found.
They have more in common than they think.
Yeah. We're both bald, you know?
Yeah, all three of them are bald.
Uh-huh.
When they're all going out to the desert, and it's just like three bald men going out to the desert to meet with the hair crew. That's the Declan difference.
Declan walking up with his curls.
Yeah. Just like, oh, the beautiful fucking Samson over here selling me low-grade meth with high-grade hair.
So Walt's at the garage, you know, working on the equipment, and Jesse shows up and Walt's kind of like ordering him around, saying, okay, here's where you can pick up. You know, we should invest in a pressure washer, you know, talking about the future.
He's ordering him around, but this is all manipulation abuse tactic shit.
Yeah.
This is him saying, like, if I can get him doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is the same thing he did a little bit to, what he's trying to get Gus Fring to do. Like, we're here, let us cook. It's all set up.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the discussion will be over once work starts.
Yes.
You know, Jesse asks for a moment to talk, and Walt hands him gloves during this,
mm-hmm.
You know, just like, no, you're going to get to work again, just assuming.
Yeah.
You know, real, real greasy shit.
Yeah.
And Walt says, yeah, you know, we should talk. We should talk about doubling down. You know, instead of 50 pounds a week, we can make 100 pounds a week. How about you get your own lab?
Yeah.
Because you are every bit as good as me.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
Love bombing them, right?
Yeah. You know, and this is a currency that doesn't spend.
Nope.
Nothing has changed for me. I want out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Walt says something, which I think Walt does believe. Mm-hmm. I think this is genuine. He's like, we're the best at something. Mm-hmm. And that's not something you throw away. Like, it is rare to be the literal best at something.
Yes.
You know?
Jesse counters, does it really count if being the best is, you know, making poison?
Yeah. Right? You know, and then he turns, because the carrot doesn't work. He turns mm-hmm. the stick.
Yeah.
You know, and it's awful.
Oh, it's utterly demonic behavior.
Yeah.
Like saying, you know, saying, all right, so tell me, what are you going to do? You know,
you have no one, you have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like literally is like, yeah, you don't have a girl and you don't have a family.
Uh-huh.
You know, your family is broken up with you.
Yeah.
What are you going to fucking do?
Using Jesse's addiction struggles against him, you know, saying like, oh, it's only a matter of time until you start using again once the go-karts and video games aren't enough.
Yeah. Awful. You know, and he's just like, he's listen, we're both broken up about Drew Sharp. And Jesse's like, I don't think you are.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, how dare you?
Yeah.
Classic abuse phrase. Yeah. How dare you is like the most abusive statement. Like that is a precursor to a bunch of bullshit. If anyone says it to you.
It is the battle cry of the cry bully. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, how dare you? I'm the father here. Right. Pulling kind of this maturity. kind of angle on him. You know, Jesse challenges it. And, you know, Walt says, well, do I have to lock myself in a room and get high to prove to you? Like, how broken up I am? You know, just saying like, oh, maybe I don't express grief like you expect me to. Again, getting but this little insult and dig in. Yeah.
Yeah, awful. You know, he's like, listen, we've done things worse than what Todd did to that boy. You know, Gail, for instance. Again, just throwing that back in his face.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think that he says another thing, a little bit of truth slips into the manipulation, the thing he believes, where he says, you know, if you believe there's a hell, I don't know if you're into that, but we're pretty much already going there.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but I'm intending to go out on my feet. I'm not going to give up at this point.
The little aside there, I don't know if you're into that, also kind of says like how little they've actually talked about themselves to each other.
Yeah.
They have, you know, there is a caring and protective relationship somewhere under this, you know, that is ultimately a little bit found at the end in what, and what Walt decides to do coming back. But like, they've not talked about like really basic, like profile shit.
Yeah. And he, you know, Walt said, Jesse says, how many more people are going to die? And Walt says, nobody else is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is going to be perfect from here out. And Jesse goes, no, every time you say that, it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to take my money and go. And Walt, you know, why do you want your money? You know, why do you want this? It's my money. I earned it. Yeah, but isn't it filthy blood money? If you're so pure, you have so much emotional depth, I'm going to save you from this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holding this $5 million over his head. And Jesse, you know, being a real mensch, is just like, you know, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, the money is not worth this.
Yeah.
You don't get to control me. I'm out.
Yeah. He's decided that $5 million is not enough to buy his humanity or his submission to this thing that Walt has become.
Yep. Good for him.
Yeah. And Walt doesn't know how to process it. Right. When he just walks away.
Cannot do it.
Yeah.
And he just screams, you'll get nothing, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's having a bad time.
Yeah. Hank's having a bad time too. You know, he's in a budget meeting looking over photos from the stakeouts on Mike, you know, the director.
They should publish all these in a coffee table book.
Just pictures of Jonathan Banks.
Just pictures of Jonathan Banks hanging out.
Yeah.
Black and white pictures of him sitting.
Banks on benches.
Yeah. Banks on benches with a little commentary from Jonathan Banks being like, that day it was outside.
Yeah. The other side of that bench had some bird shit on it.
Had some bird shit and some gum. Just like love to curl up with my banks on benches.
He's ignoring the director who's on this teleconference line, right? You know, just all getting just the, you know, peanuts wah sound. And the meeting ends and the director asks Hank to stay behind to kind of dress him down about letting small things lapse because he is so focused with the Fring case.
Yeah. And Hank makes the counterpoint, like, listen, this is what we know. And the director says, I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. But that's one case among dozens.
Yes.
You know, that can't be this much of your focus. I hear that you're going on search warrants yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you do as an ASAC. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Let me make it clear. The surveillance budget for Mike is now zero.
Yeah.
You're done with this. Mm-hmm. Improve.
Yeah.
You're rough. He's in trouble with teacher.
Uh-huh.
And Gomi shows up and he goes, listen, you know, Mike's not even trying to hide anymore. His crew isn't talking. Mike isn't even throwing our tails.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of fucked, and hands him this report. And Hank notices something.
Yeah.
Here.
The nine suspects that are all not talking, are represented by the same guy, by this lawyer, Dan. And Mike himself is not represented by Dan. And so Hank says, well, you know, the budget for Mike is zero, but not for lawyer Dan.
Yep. Let's follow him. And Gomi doesn't like this either. Gomi goes, you're the boss. I got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We come over to Walt prepping to cook and we see he's doing with Todd.
Yeah.
And Todd has never even taken basic chemistry in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and he's given Todd, you know, yes, sirs. Basically, and he goes, you know, I don't need you to be Antoine Lavoisier. I just need you to apply yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
and just the complete vacant nothingness on Todd's face when this name comes out.
Yeah. It's just the nothingness, this whole scene, like Todd just trying to understand, you know, being not smart in this way.
Yeah.
You know, like I wouldn't be good at this either.
Nope.
You know, this is tragic and weird.
Yeah.
Like it's uncanny.
Yeah. My surrogate son walked away. Let me replace him with a son who does not have a soul.
Yeah. A Cinco boy.
Yeah. My non-ensouled homunculus here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So they do the cook montage with Todd taking notes. They take a break, to eat and watch commercials, and Todd's reading the notes.
Yeah.
During this, the cook ends, and Todd goes, you know, it's going to take me a couple more times to grasp this. And Walt goes, yeah, it is. And Todd, in the old moment of vulnerability, goes, hey, did I do okay?
Uh-huh.
And he didn't, you know, he didn't do a great job. But Walt has to say, you know, you applied yourself. That's as much as I could ask. Now we should probably talk about money. And Todd says, I don't know. We'll talk about money once I get this right.
Yeah.
And Walt gives a little, huh. That's the kind of thing I like to see in my homunculi.
Yeah. I like to see them not standing up. I like to see them not valuing their time.
Or treating it like a job that Walt would have had in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like a classic work ethic. You know, one of the things Walt has always wanted for this is for it to be like a real job.
Uh-huh.
And the idea that somebody would take such pride in their work that they won't take money until they get it right is a virtue to him.
It's real old-fashioned. Yeah.
Yes. He wants this meth, you know, secret pest control meth tent to be a W-2 operation.
Yes.
From 1962.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Todd is the person in his life who is treating him like Gus's people treated him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So we cut over. Lawyer Dan shows up at the bank again, trying to butter up the teller, Dottie, with cake pops, you know, and they're like done up like little people.
Yeah. It's real extra.
Little cake men. And she's got, you know, she doesn't look good. She's like, oh, well, yeah. Okay, let's go back to the trap. I mean, safe. I mean, trap. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And he goes in, he starts laying out the money, and then turns out Gomi's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of looks at Gomi and goes, hi. And Gomi gives a big shitting grin. Caught your ass.
Oh.
At dinner, Walt starts talking about, he's like, so I started working with this new guy. Again, nothing he wants more than for this to be a job.
Yes.
Yeah, you know?
To talk about our day at work over dinner. And Skylar wants nothing more than that bottle of wine and to be alone.
Yep. She sneaks away with a big pour of wine.
Yes.
We and cut over popcorn. To Walt and popcorn. We cut over to Walt in Hank's office and he's crying again. And it's only kind of working.
Like, uh-huh.
Hank is definitely uncomfortable, but it's not getting the result he wants.
Uh-huh.
You know, of him leaving here until he eventually has to ask for it. He has to push.
Yeah.
This reminded me of like a Gabriel Knight puzzle. A
little bit.
Like,
yeah.
Like I was just like, oh, you know, how do I get him to leave the room so I can make copies of the voodoo murders?
Yeah. I love Cranston's choice here to like give these like little side looks, like, you know, as he's wiping his eye, just like to see if he's getting what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this is a load-bearing timing thing.
Yes.
That's happened here. What a quinky-dink.
Mm-hmm. Hank goes out and Walt retrieves the bugs, you know, gets away clean with that and notices like a board of some photos and then overhears, Hank talking to Gomez saying, oh, we have a breakthrough. The lawyer is going to flip on Mike. We've got everybody.
Yep. And he notices the surveillance photos of the bank branch. So Mike's guys are all of a sudden a problem.
Yeah. So like the news pulls tight. Mike is out at the park with Kaylee. Dan calls saying, hey, do you want to, I've got something to talk about. We can't talk about it on the phone.
There's a problem with the money.
Yeah.
You know,
let's meet up. Where are you right now?
Yep. And kind of surprisingly, Mike doesn't have any suspicion.
Yeah.
For this, he tells him where he's at. I was kind of surprised by that. Mm-hmm. But he does. He's trying to, you know, relax before he gets out, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Walt calls. I love the look on Mike's face when he sees Walt on the caller ID. But Walt is coming to warn him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DA is coming for you. Somebody has flipped.
Yeah.
And the cops start showing up and kind of hovering around Mike's car, looking around for him.
Yeah.
This park looks like it's, you know, 40 feet by 40 feet. It's mm-hmm. funny that he hides from two separate groups of cops.
Yeah.
It could just be the way it's shot, but yeah. it's very video game. Like, he just blocks line of sight in one direction and they lose the question marks above their head.
It's kind of a suspicious way to stand too.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you know, he's.
And presumably they know what he looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're not just looking for a car.
Yeah. But he's looking at them kind of like milling around the edges. They haven't started searching the place itself. And what he's specifically looking at, you know, we're seeing Kaylee on the swing. You know, he was there just doing a crossword while she was playing, spending time with his granddaughter. And now he cannot like go and get her because it would draw attention to himself and get him arrested in front of this granddaughter who idolizes him.
Yes. So presumably, you know, he leaves. Presumably, you know, he calls Kaylee's mother.
Yeah.
Has her pick. Like, I don't think he literally just abandons her to,
right,
you know, to get comboed. So Saul, you know, is talking to Jesse and Walt, and, you know, he's furious. Like, he's like, oh, I can't believe Mike's using that lawyer. I told him not to. You know, if the DA gets to him and he flips, that's good night, John boy. We're done.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesse's like, Mike's not going to flip. Mm-hmm. Mike won't flip. I know he's not going to flip. But Walt goes, but his nine guys will.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Those guys don't get their money. They're out.
It's a point, right?
Yeah.
So Mike calls, you know, he's laying low. He needs somebody who, you know, who isn't as hot as him to go get the go bag at the airport. You know, it's presumably got his documentation and his money. You know, maybe he's going to use the disappearer. Who knows? It's his way mm-hmm. out though. Saul doesn't want to do it because he's being watched too. You know, like, yeah, no, they're all over me. I'm your lawyer. Jesse volunteers, but Walt says, you know, I'm going to do it. Besides, you're out, remember?
Yeah. Yep. I don't think at this point he's planning to kill Mike.
No, no.
But he is planning to ask him about the nine guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's gonna press him. He goes to pick up the bag, sees the gun inside. We cut out to Mike at the river skipping stones. The last one he just tosses in.
Uh-huh.
No skip, which yeah. I love. It's been a while since I've thrown rocks into water.
Oh, it's fun.
It's a good time.
That's a really yeah. good time. Finding a good skipping stone.
It's a nice time. Yeah. I like skipping, but I even just like tossing a rock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just the splat, the thump. Like that is a good sound.
Yeah. I just like throwing it so it does the, like the straight down. So you get that yeah. little vacuum with it. Yeah. That's that's the good stuff right there.
Fantavision pops up.
This is the same river that Hank threw the grill into.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Restraint for them not having it wash up and having Walt go, ah, yes,
uh-huh.
how far I've come.
yeah. So, you know, Walt shows up and they go and talk, you know, saying like, hey, I need something before I give you this bag. I need the names of your nine guys. You know that we can't, you know, we have to do something about them.
Yeah. And Mike goes, I'm not going to give the names over. It's fucking done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're leaving town. The only move is leave town. Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah.
And Walt says something really insulting. You know, I can't just up and leave town like you, Mike. I've got a family, people who depend on me. Mike just had to leave his granddaughter
uh-huh.
alone in the park and yeah. not say goodbye. You know, again, mm-hmm. I don't think he's necessarily leaving her to the wolves, but he didn't get to say goodbye to the most important person in his life.
Nope.
Who he's done all this for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tying into that, this can't all be for nothing.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's what's motivated him to do this whole bit, mm-hmm. you know, to even keep going along with Walt, who he knows is fucking a disaster.
Yeah.
Is it can't all be for nothing. Kaylee's got to get that money.
Yes.
You know?
And Mike doesn't even rise to this bait. He does not, you know, react to this insult. You know, Walt is the only person in the world who has a family, right? He just goes, yeah. And then, and then takes the bag. The thing that gets him is he says, goodbye, Walter. And Walt shouts, you're welcome. As yeah. Mike is going back to the car.
And he would not have, you know, I still feel like things would have played out similarly if he didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people online talk about the scene a little bit as if like, oh, it's his one mistake, not letting this go and giving the speech. Walt wasn't going to leave without those names.
Nope.
You know, like, I think he would have come up to him anyway, mm-hmm. but the way it's shot, he gets to say his last piece. Here.
Yes.
It's a really good little monologue
mm-hmm.
Yeah. here.
We had a good thing, you son of a bitch. It was perfect. But no, you just had to blow it up. You and your pride and your ego. You just had to be the man. If you'd done your job, known your place, we'd all be fine right now.
Yeah. Which is true.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jesse be dead. but it is true, you know? So Mike gets in the car and Walt walks out of frame and you can see he's fuming.
Yeah.
But then marches back and music kicks up.
Yeah.
Mike opens his bag, notices the gun holster is empty, and Walt walks up and just shoots Mike through the window.
Yeah.
Shoots him once. Mike drives the car, ends up crashing into a rock, and Walt looks like he's shocked by his own actions.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I fucking did it.
He's like, a little kid who like threw a rock at somebody and it knocked him out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And broke a window.
Yeah.
You know, Walt comes out of the car, but Mike's gone. So he follows the footprints and Mike is sitting on a log, kind of staring off into space. He has a gun. I feel like Mike probably could have mustered the ability to shoot Walt here. I'm not basing that on anything. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, it's hard for me to think that just, you know, Mike's been shot.
Yeah.
But what would it do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be revenge, but it would be bad for Jesse.
Yep.
They would find these bodies. It would all come unraveled. It would ultimately fuck over his people too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like him admitting defeat here for the greater good is kind of his last act that I think is like, you know, fairly admirable, I guess.
Yeah.
Of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. He doesn't put up any resistance when Walt just kind of like plucks it out of his hands and we get a good glimpse. You know, he's bleeding pretty substantially from the, you know, from the gut, kind of like the lower chest. He's been hit. And there's this incredibly uncomfortable moment where Walt is just trying to find the air to talk.
He has face, like really good facial acting.
Yeah.
It's like a little kid.
Yeah. And just all of that bravado is gone away and he is back. He is back to like, I've just strangled Crazy Eight.
Yeah. Like I've done a thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, who was that? And he starts talking and you get to see the rationalization like settle on him like a blanket. You know, he starts off, he goes, I just realized Lydia has the name, so I can get him from her. I'm sorry, Mike. And then the rationalization kind of comes. He's going, you know, this whole thing could have been avoided. Like basically going to start turning it around. Like, why'd you make me do that?
Yeah.
And Mike cuts him off, you know, shut the fuck up and let me die in peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we get this distant shot, very beautiful, with Walt and Mike in the bottom corner of the river and Mike slumping over.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. End of an era trout.
You know, dead, shot in this peak of passion because, you know, Mike managed to wound Walt in the exact wrong way.
Yeah. Well, and also just, again, wound him in the wrong way and Walt is absolutely fucking in the red out of control.
Yes. Yeah.
Monster man. Who cares not for anything?
Yeah, and that's why I say, oh, wound him in the wrong way. It's just like you know, he says the thing that could you know that could make Walt do this. Act without thinking.
I think Walt would have probably this would have escalated that way even if he didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think Walt would have come up to him for the names. Like he's not thinking about Lydia getting the names from Lydia at this point.
No,
he's going to ultimately. I think he would also think of Mike as a loose end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about this, and this was with next episode with Gliding All Over or Gliding Overall, is the it's weird that he doesn't have Ted killed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to TV tropes it. Mm-hmm. It's just at this point, he's so paranoid and nuts at this point that, like, everyone's got to die who has anything to do with anything.
Yeah, yeah. The only reason I say that, like, you know, what Mike said, you know, made Walt take the shot. You know, it's that, you know, the march back after he goes back to his car. Right.
Yeah,
and you know, like him having that realization or just the spell or the peak wearing off immediately after it does read to me like he might have killed him or like run him off the road or whatever after this, not let Mike get away, but you know it was the anger that made him do it in this particular way, right?
In this particular way, yeah, like that's definitely how it's framed. I just think that he would have the he wasn't gonna leave without the names.
Yeah,
like he's, you know, he was gonna summon up some of that bullshit from the first part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually just would have happened later than sooner.
Yeah. And also this is him acting alone. You know, he doesn't have Mike. He doesn't have anybody else. He doesn't have Saul, Jesse to say, well, Mike isn't the only person who knows those names.
Well, right? He doesn't have them. Yeah. And he doesn't have them for the rest of us too. Like him losing advisors is actually like a real serious thing as he starts going into business with neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, any number of the people who he would talk to could have told him like, hey, this is probably not the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
but he stopped listening to them a long time ago, and now he doesn't have them around even. Yeah.
He's acted on impulse, you know, and killed, not even, you know, you could never say that this was in self-defense, right? There is no rationalization for this.
Yeah. And it's also a thing too, where, you know, the ultimate, sometimes people, when they talk about the Breaking Bad, they talk about it's sucking that, you know, Walt goes out on his own terms. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like, what show are you watching? because the tragedy of Walt is that he ends up more alone than anyone's ever been in the universe.
He's a fucking revenant when he blows back into town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the climactic scene of his punishment is him paying the disappearer $10,000 for 1 hour of cards he can't touch. Uh-huh. You know, like, he is more lonely and lonesome than anyone's ever been in his life. Every single person that he did this with, he's lost all respect from any people, mm-hmm. and any, you know, any love, any respect, any connection.
Yeah.
You know, yes, he dies in the meth lab and he gets to get revenge, mm-hmm. but it takes a different kind of mind than mine to think like, yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he went out on top, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, that is, I don't think that's the yeah. lesson from this.
No, it's him reaching out from hell at that point.
Yeah. Like this distancing, him losing Mike, him losing Jesse, you know, as Jesse starts to figure out what's going on, mm-hmm. Things like that. We're going to get that heartbreaking monologue in the next season where Jesse's like, just tell me you need me to disappear. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me you need a favor.
Yeah.
You know, don't try, or you're going to fucking kill me like Mike. Like, just be straight with me. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Like, he distances everyone around him until he has nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it is one of the most complete obliterations of a character I've seen in fiction. and just people like, oh, he should have been tortured for 1,000 years in prison. Or it's like, I don't know what they wanted. Uh-huh. It's weird to me. Yeah. It would have been satisfying to see him boil alive. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Weirdos?
I think what people want is for Walt to go through what Jesse went through, right?
Yeah.
You know,
and he does. He goes, lives in a cabin for 6 months, giving himself chemotherapy and watching like Mr. Magorium's Wonder Bar Emporium. Like, he's got two copies of it, I think.
Yep. It's two of them.
Yeah. Like, that's a kind of hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people who are like, talk about Kim not being punished in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And it's like, did you see that guy she was dating?
do you like, hear the conversation she like is engaged in at work?
Miracle Whip on potato salad, like, that is a kind of hell too. They're just different kinds of hell.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's in jail.
Yeah.
At the end of it.
Blue heaven's a kind of hell, right?
Like, yeah. 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 Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. What can they do?
If you like us and want to support this network, we do a whole bunch of shows in addition to this one. You can support us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Get a bunch of bonus content and, you know, support us and our producer, Gwen.
Yeah. Keep this thing going. Mm-hmm. You can also leave ratings, reviews, tell your friends, things mm-hmm. like that. Where I mentioned supporting Gwen, but you can thank Gwen.
Yeah.
Who also composed the theme song for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And fuck. Don't do anything that Walt does ever. I know we keep saying it, but never do a Walt.